You know, wow, how can we not have faith? How can we pray, if it be your will, Lord, when we have scriptures like this? When he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. So I said, Lord, on Caitlin, I know when she grows up, she's not going to want to have scars all over her face. So I'm asking you to completely heal her little face without a single mark or a single scar. And I thank you for doing it. And as I stood on those promises, in 2 weeks' time, her little face was completely back down to normal size without one single red mark on it. And I asked the Lord to heal it without a scab or a scar. And within 2 weeks' time, that face was as beautiful as it was before the accident. And today, that little girl is 14 years old, and that face is as beautiful as any little girl you've ever seen. We serve an awesome Jesus. Now then, we bring her home from the hospital, and of course I didn't know, but when we left, the doctor says, now then, the little valve in her throat, flapper valve that cuts off the air passage, does not work. So he said, you can't feed her anything by mouth. It has to be done through a tube we put in her stomach. I said, well, I didn't even know this was an issue. Nobody had told me. He said, well, we've been feeding her intravenously. So anyway, after 30 days, we brought her home without a single surgery or anything. And doctors didn't do anything to her, but she recovered. And she could breathe on her own. She could, everything seemed to be normal. She wasn't walking yet. But I told him, I said, she will. I'll take the name of Jesus, and I'll command those legs to walk, and they'll walk. Because Jesus said, whatever we command in his name will be ours. And so I said, I will do that. So I bring her home and I said, I will pray. And I have an awesome promise in Mark 11:24. I want you to see this. We'll go there. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Here's the thing we got to remember about these awesome promises. For these things to work, the scriptures we just read, you have to abide where for all this to work? In him. I mean, does he tell us that over and over and over? We must abide in him. In other words, you can't go to church on Sunday and live like the devil the next 6 days and be abiding in Jesus. You got to abide in Jesus 7 days a week. That's why so few people in church today get their prayers answered, because they live like a saint while they're in church on Sunday. But then the rest of the week, they live like a devil. You know, they don't love nobody. They don't show no love for nobody. Don't do nothing good for nobody. Don't tell nobody about Jesus. You're living for the world. 6 days a week you're living for the world. 1 day a week you're living for Jesus. Or actually, maybe only an hour or two, you know, on Sunday. you know, some guys, oh, I'll have to say this happened to me and Cheryl one time in our life. We had been to church and taught church and done everything and then started home that afternoon, and Cheryl asked me a question about what I was doing out back where I'd pour the concrete slab. And I told her, well, I didn't really want to tell you. It's going to be a surprise. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm building you and me a little apartment to live in. I thought she's going to be happy. She said, what? You're building a house for me to live in? Didn't even ask me how I wanted it. I said, well, I wanted it to be a surprise. She said, I can't believe you're doing this. And this is the only time in my life my wife has ever screamed at me. On the way home from church, she screamed at me, who would ever dream you could go to church and have church and tell people about how to love your wife and then have a knockdown drag out on the way home? But can you do that? Yes, you can do that. I guarantee. We had one that day, and so I just finally quit talking, because every time I opened my mouth, I got in deeper trouble. So I said, okay, I won't say nothing. So we get home, and of course, I start to unload the car, and Cheryl, she's unloading her car, and she said, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this man you gave me? Now, you notice how she did that? That's just like Eve, doesn't it? We have not changed a bit. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this man that you gave me? As she's saying that, she comes in there and the Lord speaks to her. He said, just love him. Oh, my goodness, that got her attention. She come to the back. She said, honey, are you going to come in anytime soon? I said, yes, in just a minute. I'll be right there. So I come in and she grabbed me and hugged me and said, will you forgive me? And I said, well, of course. I said, but what happened? She said, well, I didn't like what you were doing, so I was grumbling to the Lord and asking him what I'm supposed to do with you, this man that he has given me. And he spoke to me and told me, I'm just supposed to love you. So she said, Lord, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? I looked up and said, thanks, Dad. I sure didn't need that help today. Is there times in our life when we need help from the Lord? Yes. Oh, my goodness, do we ever. So I said, okay, honey. I've got all the drawings in here in my office. Come in here and sit down in my lap, and I'll pull up the picture of it, and you tell me where you want what, and I'll put it exactly the way you wanted it. So I built it exactly like she wanted it. And did she get happy? Yes, she's happy after that. By the time we get the house built, I'm up probably about a 90 out of a possible 100, you know. So I ain't hit 100 yet. But the other day, she told me she wanted a car. She wanted a new car. Well, it wasn't a new one, but it's new to her. Many years of her life, she's wanted a little Mitsubishi 3000 GTSL. Now, I didn't even know what that was until a couple of weeks ago. But that's what she wanted. So I told her, I said, when did they make them? She said, well, from about 90 to 2000. Well, it turned out 91 to 99. I said, okay, see if you can find one. So her shopping on the internet, she found one. We finally found it over here in Garland, a beautiful red one, just like she wanted. We went over, looked at it, and we bought it. And we come home, and she was so happy with that car that night when we got home. She said, honey, you're a 95 now. Wow. I said, so I've hit a 90. Now, did the scripture say, husbands, we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church? But I don't think 95 is good enough, reckon? So anyway, I said, is there anything else I can do? She said, yes, I want a new radio for it. I want a really nice radio. I said, okay. We go up to the radio shop, and I buy her a nice new radio to put in her car. And she comes home. It's everything just like she wants. And she says, honey, that's it. You just hit 100%. Oh, my goodness gracious. I hit 100%, and the next day I said something she didn't like. She said, you're down to minus 20. Oh, Dad, I got a long way to go back up, see? Oh, goodness. I like to have a little fun in life, too. I will have to say, my wife has told me more times since I bought her that little 92. It's a little 92 Mitsubishi, a little red two-door sports car that she's wanted. I bought that little thing for her, and we get $4,800 for it, so it wasn't expensive. You know, it was very economical, and I have never had her tell me as many times as she told me since I bought her that car that she loves me and she loves that car. So I really made her happy. I was invited to a big church up in Detroit, and one of the ladies that was there, when I prayed for people that night, I told the people, I said, there's no way I can minister to each one of you. There's 1,500 people here. I said, we'll just have to do it corporately. But I said, the Jesus I serve, he can deal with each one of you. I said, I just want you to confess your sin and make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word, and I'll pray the prayer of faith for you. And one of the ladies in his church there, she had just been diagnosed that day with breast cancer, and she had a big lump in her breast. I told him, I said, if you have a lump in your body or whatever it is, put your hand on it and make sure you repented of all your sins. I said, if you got any unforgiveness, you got to make sure you forgive and everything, and then I will pray. And I said, the Lord will heal you. And there was two ladies. That one lady had the knot in her breast. The minute I prayed, the knot disappeared. And she came running down there screaming, I am healed, I am healed. And then another lady also got healed of something there that night instantly. And, of course, who knows how many the Lord healed as they went, because, you know, those are two miracles he did. I see a few miracles, but I've seen healings by the thousands. You know, I wish I could get to where I had the faith to see miracles by the thousands, you know. So, I mean, I want everything that I can get. So, isn't that the way we should be with God? I think that's the way it should be. I want us to go to 1 Samuel 18:10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Now, again, I don't think that the average Christian understands at all who God is or what he does. I mean, I hear people talking about the enemy, you know, Satan, and he's the one we got to get rid of. No, there's only one you need to make happy, and that's the Lord. You make the Lord happy. Now, did Saul make God happy? This man here we're talking about in the scripture, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at the other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now then, this evil spirit came from God. You know, it didn't come from anything else. Satan himself did not send this. Let's go to 1 Samuel 19:9, and let's look at this right quick. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. Now then, I'm just trying to get you to realize where these evil spirits come from. I used to ask questions, where does the devil come from? You know, if he's such a critter, why didn't God, if he's so powerful, why didn't he just annihilate the devil? Well, now I realize that God made the devil. All things were made by him and for him, both principalities, powers, dominions, authorities. Everything that was made by God, made by Jesus, and nothing exists unless he made it. And so he's in control. And he uses the devil for his glory. Let me explain it to you like this. The Lord uses the devil as the police department. In other words, when the legislators, when they make the rules, they're kind of a god. They make rules that we have to abide by. Is that right? Well, who makes all the rules? God makes all the rules, right? And so just like the legislator in Austin, when they make the rules and say, okay, we're going to let you drive 65 miles an hour out here on this freeway between Fort Worth and Denton. Well, they made the rule, right? And they put the signs up, and then they put a police force out there that says, if you catch them driving above 65, you can give them a ticket. Now, then, can you drive below 65 and you're okay, right? Do they ever bother you if you're driving 60? No, hon, they don't bother you at all. You can just drive down that highway. You can drive down that highway and set your cruise on 65. Will they ever stop you? No, that's a speed limit. They don't bother you at all. But what if you're in a hurry today and you get it up to 85? Oh, now then you're guilty of breaking the law, right? And if you get caught, somebody's going to stop you and give you a ticket. But let me tell you what, they're pretty scattered out through there. But if you drive 85 very long, you're going to get stopped eventually, right? Well, let me tell you, the devils and the demons, they ain't that spread out. There's a bunch of them. They are all over the place. And I guarantee you, there has been several of those little critters sent and assigned to you. And they walk along with you every day. You make one mistake, and they know it. God made the devil, and he uses the devil for his glory.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, Our Goal is Not to Sin Again, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.